Did you hear me back there? Do I speak loud? I don't even need this, do I? I don't even need it. So this is better, isn't it? So you're going to have to turn it down back there. So Luke is trying to communicate information related to his own research. He wasn't developing a fascinating story, or he didn't add his own take and change the storyline. These are things that he witnessed, or he knew other people witnessed. Luke. Luke also, when you look at his entire gospel, the focus is salvation. That's his message. And so Mary is included in this message of salvation to the world. Now, I'm going to discuss three different points that I find kind of significant and interesting as I looked at this text. And the first one is this. So that's what happens when I forget to turn my microphone on. The acts of God often defy the so-called wisdom of the world. Mary, the actual name is Miriam. In English we say Mary, was really an insignificant woman. A young girl in the Middle East, living in a backwater of the Roman Empire. She was a virgin. I was going to ask how many of you all are virgins, but I won't ask that question. She was a virgin. She didn't really know much about bearing children, and she was pledged to be married. So she would soon learn a lot of things about life. She wasn't very experienced. And Joseph was a carpenter. And the Bible tells us that he was related to a king of old. He was related to King David. But apparently he wasn't benefiting financially from that relationship because he was a working man. Like many people today, some of us can trace our roots back to famous people. And we're not famous ourselves. However, we're proud of the fact that we can trace our roots back, and I'm sure they were also. Joseph worked for a living, but I'm sure he also took out the garbage, so he wasn't a wealthy man. Some of us today, we would love to trace our genealogy back to the Qing Dynasty, or maybe to be related to one of the Kardashians. But Joseph wasn't that kind of person. His status was kind of, he was a carpenter. And they couldn't even find a place in the inn. They were regular people. Now, regarding Mary, we Protestants, there may be a few Catholics here, but Protestants often don't focus on Mary. We don't think about her. And I think much of this is an overreaction to perceived excesses that we see in the Catholic community, in the Christian world. Some of us, maybe we're raised Catholic, and we remember how Mary was represented, and there's differences between Protestants and Catholics. But I think too often we Protestants turn away from Mary too much. We ignore her. Because there were and are excesses. We should think about Mary. She is absolutely important to our lives and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. She is an important model and figure. Now, when I think about the Catholics and the Protestants, we do have a lot of agreement, points of agreement with the Catholic community. And I think that they are important points of agreement. We believe that the birth of Jesus was through the Virgin Mary. That's a common belief that Christians believe, that it was a miracle that the Son of God came through Mary as an act of the Holy Spirit upon her life. A miracle. We also believe that Mary is the mother of Christ. Now, we don't usually say mother of God, but in truth, if you carry out the logic, for we Protestants, Mary is also the mother of God because we believe that Christ is God. And so we shouldn't be too upset with our Catholic brothers and sisters. We also believe that Mary is a holy woman. And the Bible makes that very clear. And that she is a model to be trusted, to be followed. She's an example of faith. But we do have some points of disagreement with the Catholics. We don't believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary. Because actually in the Bible we see that Jesus had brothers. And we don't think that after Mary was married, she did not have sexual relationships. Also, we don't believe in the Immaculate Conception. In other words, that Mary was without sin. As Protestant believers, we believe that Mary was a sinner like everybody else. She was a good person, but she needed salvation like all of us. She was a human being in need of salvation. We don't believe in the Assumption of Mary. In other words, in the Catholic community, they believe, and this was promulgated in 1950, they believe that Mary actually went to heaven and didn't die. Catholics believe that. But we Protestants generally don't believe that. And lastly, we don't really venerate Mary. We don't have Mary's picture up next to the cross. So usually Protestant people, their view of Mary is not as, almost is not worshipful. It's more respecting her because she is the mother of Jesus. Now, I think we ignore her for other reasons also. I would venture to say that we ignore her because of her humble nature. And we are people who really aren't humble. Indeed, we are attracted to power, and when it comes our way, our hands grasp after power. We're so willing to exercise it no matter who gets hurt very often. And we don't even know what we're doing half the time. Yes, power corrupts, but Mary was the mother of Jesus. What kind of power of relationship could she have? I bet you she could probably go up to Peter and say, "Hey, Peter, my son wants you to do this." But nowhere in the Bible do we see Mary doing that kind of thing. Mary avoided the corruption of power. And for that reason, we need her as an example. Because we also have to not be corrupted by power. God didn't ignore Mary. He valued her inner spirit and her character, her innocence, her heart. And when we look at the Bible, we even see that throughout the New Testament, Mary was a leader. And she was one of the early leaders of the church when you look at the book of Acts. God values humility. And I believe he values it in our lives also, in the Chinese church. I believe that God calls people today to be humble. Look at verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Highly favored. The Lord is with you. You know, in the Catholic Church, they have this prayer. We Protestants don't say, "Hail Mary, full of grace." "Blessed art thou among women, and the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." That's a biblical prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. That's from the scripture. "Blessed art thou among women" is the same thing as "you are highly favored." In a certain sense, we too are highly favored. The Chinese community church is highly favored. God loves this church, loves the people. He has a plan, a purpose, a destiny. But sometimes we are not so loving. We need to learn from Mary to have a little more humility, to be humble. If you take any survey of a church today, and I'm going to meddle in gendered discussion today, but please bear with me. If you take a survey of any church this morning in the world, women are the ones who generally keep things afloat. I have a question. I just want to take a poll. You know, I was watching the news recently and Donald Trump took a poll. See, he asked everybody what they thought and they all voted. He said something like, what do you think of person of the year? And nobody yelled. And then he said, what do you think of man of the year? And everybody yelled. So I'm not going to do that today. But let me take a poll. In the Chinese church, I want you to raise your hand. Who cooks the most? Men or women? Is it 50-50? I think probably women still. Who serves the most and cleans things the most? Is it the men or the women? Now, my brother-in-law here, Brent, put your hand up. He's there with his wife. Now, Brent is a cook. He's an expert cook, so I didn't want to include him in that poll. God chooses the humble, and often not those who we would expect. I was in Germany serving as an army chaplain, and I had a young officer who was a West Point graduate. He was on the staff. So he was a significantly advanced young officer. God called him to go into the ministry. So he resigned his commission, and he went off to seminary. And he's just finished seminary, and he's pastoring in Louisiana. But he chose to give something up to follow a humble profession. And in truth, being a minister is kind of humble. But I want to encourage you here today, if there's anyone who feels nudged to move toward ministry, to do it. To do it. Slowly work your way that direction. Secondly, being troubled when God acts in our life is okay. Let me read this text. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The scripture tells us that she was greatly troubled, and this means literally, she's greatly agitated. Has anyone here been agitated? I'm sure you have been. A lot of things agitate us nowadays. But what I find fascinating is I don't think she was agitated or upset at seeing an angel. I don't think that concerned her. She wasn't afraid of the angel. The thing that concerned her was the message, the salutation that was given, the words that came. "You are highly favored." It's like many of us. When we receive a compliment, what do we do a lot of the time? "Oh, no, 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 don't thank me. Oh, no, 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 don't thank me." Well, Mary did that. I think she did. And she just didn't want to accept the reality that she was going to be the one to bear the Christ child. But we will see later on that she accepts it. And I think we can learn something from that also. So Mary questioned God about those words. The angel said she would bear a child, and yet she was not with her husband. And she said, "How will this be?" How will this be? I'm not pregnant, and I'm going to have a child. And this was a very important announcement, that she would bear the Son of God, the incarnation of God's Son, that God would send Jesus, who would become flesh, conceived and born of a virgin. And what's the purpose for that? What does Jesus mean? What does the name Jesus mean? When the angel says his name will be Jesus, what is that? It means Savior, or literally Jehovah saves. So Mary is the vessel by which salvation can come in the world. She didn't save the world, but Mary was chosen to be a vessel to touch people's lives. Chinese Community Church, high school students, college students, elderly people that maybe live in Wah Luck Club. God has put you there. God has put you where you're at to be a means of salvation for people. In the same way that Mary said, I will surrender myself to you, God, we also as Christians surrender ourselves to the Lord in order to bring salvation and hope to people that are hopeless. Mary said, how will this be? I will tell you that Christians through the ages have faced all kinds of intellectual struggles about their faith, about circumstances in their life. And when Mary questions God, and she says, how will this be? It is absolutely normal. We can question God. We can struggle with the things that come our way. Now, many of us have things that come our way that we can't handle. I think of people struggling with the death or sickness of loved ones. I think of people struggling with job problems, work problems. I think of people struggling with the fact that they were not able to realize an objective in their life. It's okay to struggle and to ask, how, God, are you going to break into my situation? And I don't know what everybody's situation is out there, but I'm sure some of you are facing some things. I want to encourage you to look at Mary. Look at how she responded. Thirdly, God's provision meets the need of the one who is called. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. The Holy Spirit, as the third person of the Trinity, is the agent of miraculous change in her life. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I want you to understand this a little bit. In Christian theology, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, three in one, God. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is a person, like the Father, like the Son. It's not some strange kind of power that comes upon us. The Holy Spirit has power. And so the scripture here says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This reminds me of Genesis 1:1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And here we also read that the Spirit was involved in the incarnation, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, is what the angel told Mary. The miracle of creation and the miracle of the incarnation, the Holy Spirit intensely involved. Friend, God is in this so obviously that I pray also that the Spirit of God will infuse and impact our lives as we serve Him, that we will be led by the Spirit of God to love one another. Sometimes it's easy to be angry and be mean and say something bad to another person. It's easy. It's who we are. I'm glad my wife left. I'm an angel with my wife. Tell her, say, is your husband an angel? But, you know, sometimes we get mad at each other. God help us. God help us to be kind, to be humble, like Mary. There's men out there, macho men. Are you kind to your loved ones? If you're not, you better think about it. You better get right with God. Because we're called to love those people that we are yoked to. Friend, God wants Chinese Community Church to trust Him. And God will lead this church. You may be a visitor today, not knowing your future, not knowing what's ahead. Listen to the mother of Jesus. Listen to her words. She trusted the Lord. She trusted God. Look at verse 37. For no word from God will ever fail. Other translations say that with God, all things are possible. With our lives, all things are possible. God can intervene and bring resolution and peace and hope to us. Listen to Mary's response in verse 38. After all of this takes place, what does Mary do? She says, after she hears, you're going to have this baby. And Mary, you haven't even had sex yet. It's a miracle. And you're going to bear this child, and people are going to look at you and say, how did that happen? You know, in that time, if you were pregnant and it, you know, I mean, her husband even considered divorcing her, and she would have been stoned. But she responded to God because she knew God was leading her. And she said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the Lord and the angel left her. How many of us need to do that with our dilemma in life? To say, Lord, I'm your servant. Let your will be fulfilled. And go on to serve humbly and to do what God has called us to do. Chinese Community Church, people, visitors, I ask you to consider Mary as an example to emulate and to follow. I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to invite you to stand up, one or two or three or four or five, if this message has touched you, and you want to just stand up as an example that you're going to surrender your situation into God's hands, and then sit down while everybody's eyes are closed. And if you don't want to stand up, you can raise your hand, or like raise your eyebrow. But I want to give an opportunity to respond to this message, so I invite you to pray this morning with me. Lord God, we've learned a little about Mary. We've seen how she is. We've seen that she was faithful, and she proclaimed to be a servant. And so, if there's anyone here today that needs to surrender to God, to be God's servant in the situation that is causing you great pain and struggle, I encourage you to make a sign of it by standing or lifting a hand or in your own heart acknowledging the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in my life. Lord, this morning we've come to see some very important principles of our walk with Christ. That God's actions might even defy the wisdom we're used to in this life. He may surprise us. He chose a peasant woman, a woman that was quite insignificant. Out of all the women that he could have chosen, he could have even chosen Elizabeth, who was a wife of a high priest, but he chose not to. And Lord, we've learned that it's okay to struggle with the Word of God and that we're called to be humble. And finally, Lord, we've learned that your provision will meet our need. And Lord, as we surrender, we can experience the joy that Mary experienced. Lord, some of us walk around without joy, and it's because we've chosen to carry burdens every step of the way through our life. Why can't we just release those burdens into your hands? And like Mary, say these words, Lord, I'm your servant. May your word be fulfilled in my life. In Jesus' name.